comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at the first verse. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down upon a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he rose and ate and drank and went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're reading Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8, responsively. I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
O magnify the Lord with me.
And let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me.
And delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to him are radiant.
And their faces shall never be ashamed.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him.
And saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps
around those who fear him and delivers them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at the 17th verse. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of the heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and to corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is in good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Or you of little faith, but I think it's probably the little ones of faith. That's my bias. Anyway, tonight I was going to talk and visit with the kids as an introduction to my sermon about copying. And you've all heard about copycats, and sometimes big sisters don't like it when little sisters copy them and do everything that they do. They don't always see it as an honor, for example. So I was going to show the kids a picture, and this is a picture that hangs on the refrigerator in our house. And if you're up close, you can see that it says, to Grandma from Nora, nice hat, is the caption. And there's a couple of hands that are holding each other's hands on the back side that says, love ya. Anyway, I wanted to show this to the kids and say a lot of times we don't know what the picture is of unless you can talk to the author. Copy that? If we can talk to the author, then we know what the picture is intended to be. In this case, a gift. Is that Grandma? Is that Nora? I mean, we don't know exactly unless we talk to the author. And so then I was going to show the kids this picture and say, do you know what this is? And they would say, well, it's the same picture, but not exactly the same picture, because it's a copy, but it's not the original. And that's the trouble with copies. Even those technologies trying to improve upon the original and pretend that they can make a copy better than the original, you can't do that when it comes to Jesus Christ. We can be a chip off the old block, like Father, like Son, etc., but the reality is it's still a copy. And because we're sinners, the copy is always inferior. And if you look at this, even if you do it on a copier and you do it in color ink, it still is inferior. It's a fake, it's a phony, it's a replicate, but it's not the real thing. And so I was going to remind the kids of the Genesis story of creation, because in the beginning God created everything and it was good. And God created a male and a female. God created human beings in God's image. And so what does it mean to be created in God's image? Does that mean that we look like him physically? Or do we look like him as far as being an earthly representation of helping those who see us to better see Jesus, where they might not see him otherwise? And then I wanted the kids, and certainly your kids, you can think about the things that you've copied. And sometimes when we copy things, it's a copyright infringement. You can't copy things unless the author gives you permission to do so. And you need to cite your sources, footnote, endnote, and you also need to do what? Give credit to whom credit is due. And sometimes we copy good things, and sometimes we copy bad things. And as you noticed in our gospel reading for tonight, Father, 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 it all depends upon who your Father is. The father of all lies, the devil, or the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what would be those good qualities that Paul speaks about in Ephesians 5 that you would want to copy, and what are those characteristics and qualities that you would not want to copy? And then I wanted to end by sharing with the kids what I observed last week. Because children are watching you, even if you don't know they're watching you. And the only sermon some people might ever read or hear, as far as the Bible goes, is what you're preaching. You might be somebody's only sermon into the Word of God, right? And so I watched as my daughter and son-in-law and the three little ones were leaving, and you know Hope, most of you know my little granddaughter Hope, she's not two yet, and she had her cousin here last week, little Henry, who's about one. And as they were standing there, getting ready to leave, Hope was standing right next to him, and she goes and pushed that little guy right down on his bottom. Could have hurt him. You know why Hope does that? Not because of original sin, although that's some of it. It's more than that. It's because she's got Jonah and Micah as cousins, and they like to roughhouse, and they like to tackle everybody. And so Hope is learning how to push. Copy that? I mean, sometimes people say, Roger, Roger. When we communicate, the word copy that, or be imitators of God as beloved children, copy that literally means message has been received, understood, and appropriate action has been taken. That's what copy that literally means. I heard you, I understand you, and I understand what the appropriate action is that I need to take. Copy that? Copy that. Not a question, a declaration, an exclamation point. We are called to be imitators of God as beloved children. That's what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, because Paul spent 3 years doing ministry in Ephesus. And this past week, I just celebrated 5 years in Rochester. So you do work and you care about people, and you realize that everybody's going to be walking. I mean, that's, if you read Ephesians, all six chapters, you're going to find out that Paul is talking about walking wet, because even in our epistle reading for tonight, you've got the remnant of a baptismal formula, putting off, putting on. That's baptism that Paul's talking about, because you are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. There is some things that you had better not copy. And there are some other things that you and I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, do not quench the Holy Spirit in which you were adopted and sealed. Oh, Paul is proclaiming what baptism means. It means that we walk wet daily with the sign of salvation upon us, and it means that there are certain things that are inappropriate for us to copy and certain things that are mandatory for us to copy. And not to copy the likeness of Jesus is to grieve the Holy Spirit of the crucified and risen Christ. It is to grieve the Father. Father, 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 Father. All over the place in the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6. Who's your Father? It's a paternity test. It's a blood reality washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so in baptism, God has chosen you to be holy and blameless. In fact, even from the foundation of the world. And God has predestined you, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, for adoption as sons and daughters. God has made you an inheritor of grace, which means that you and I have the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption in the name of Jesus. Copy that? Copy that. Be imitators. Let your manner of life, Paul said in last week's gospel, second reading, let your manner of life be worthy of the calling to which you've been called. What will that mean? What will that look like? And then you may recall that maturity is not optional. It is God-given. We must grow up into the full maturity of Christ. Copy that. Message received, understood, appropriate action taken. Imitation. And we're not talking about veneer. I mean, if you sell wood products, they can be solid, they can be veneer. They can be cheap imitations or costly copies. In 1 John chapter 3, St. Paul says, see what love the Father has given us, the Father. See what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. We know who our Father is, who art in heaven. The reason why the world does not recognize us, St. John says, is because they didn't recognize him. So don't be surprised. Beloved, we are God's children right now. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but we do know this. When Jesus appears, we're going to be like him, an exact copy, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in Christ does what? Purifies themselves as he is pure. They copy. You see? They imitate for the good, not for the bad, as the Holy Spirit is purifying us. So whether it's St. Paul writing to the church in Ephesus or St. John writing the gospel or the epistle, the message is consistent. Growing up into the full stature of Christ means that we are walking in a particular way. And walking in a particular way means, well, it means that we're imitators as beloved children of God. A few years ago, a pastor got a call to Houston, Texas. And so a few years back, lived on the outskirts, decided to rise the bus into town, and he was giving the change, but he didn't have the exact change, and so the bus driver gave him some change back, and he noticed as he walked back and sat in his seat that it was a quarter too much. Now, this pastor sat there, new to Houston, Texas, and he thought to himself, crying out loud, can't the guy count? Then again, it's just a quarter. And the fares are already exorbitant and too high anyway, so what's the big deal? It's probably the grace of God. Or not. So he was wrestling with this as the bus is making its rounds. And then when it came time to get off, it was like the Spirit moved him, and the pastor said, so I stood in front of the bus driver and I said, you gave me a quarter too much, and I handed him the quarter. And the bus driver looked at me, this pastor said, and this is what he said. I don't go to church anywhere. I've been thinking I need to go to a church. I saw your picture in the paper that you were new here in town, and so I gave you that extra change to see what you do. I'll see you in church on Sunday. I'll see you in church on Sunday. And that pastor got off the bus, and you know how sometimes you have, you know, garbage cans, and you have like utility poles and stuff like that. He kind of leaned against that, and he found himself kind of shaking a little bit. And this is what he said. Oh my God, I almost sold your son for a quarter. I almost sold your son for a quarter. It helps. You can visit with Darrell. He'll tell you about witnessing and how God is opening way too many doors, but they're all good. But he wears witness shirts or if you wear a cross, or if you wear a collar, it's amazing. People kind of expect or assume something. And one of the things that I found about wearing a clerical shirt is that when I get nasty or crabby or whatever, it kind of is a check and balance in my life. It doesn't mean that I always do the right thing or the good thing. Copy that. But it does mean that God put some digs into this human flesh and helps me to realize that it does matter. It does matter. We are called to be imitators of God as beloved children. But sometimes we forget. We forget who we are, we forget whose we are. As I was looking at the scripture lessons for this week and mindful of the lessons from last week, I thought, look at what the Israelites did. They misremembered, they forgot. They saw 10 plagues right before their very eyes, the majesty, the glory of God, the power of Almighty God. And then they've only been out of Egypt for 30 days, 1 month, after they saw all the manifestations of God's glory, and after they walked through the Red Sea on dry land, and the Egyptian soldiers did the dead man's float, they saw all of that. The Lord was their rear guard, and the Lord went before them. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And what do? They grumble, they complain. We need some water that isn't bitter. We need some bread and meat. And how does God respond to their grumbling? With grace, extravagant, undeserved grace. With a piece of timber, the water becomes tasty. And every morning there's manna from heaven. It was not Moses that gave you the bread from heaven. The Father gives you, present tense, the bread. I am the bread, Jesus says. I mean, God is amazing. Even when his people keep grumbling and complaining and whining and forgetting and misremembering. And look at what happens in our first lesson for today. Elijah, you know the story. Remember how God sent ravens to feed him, and he was out kind of in hiding during a 3-year drought, and he's just trying to be a faithful prophet of Almighty God. And then God says, okay, it's time to go in and have a little conversation with Ahab. You know Ahab, boo, hiss, the one that married Jezebel, the Phoenician woman that brought Baal and all the paganism into the northern kingdom of Israel. So he goes there. And then in 1 Kings 18, there's this contest on Mount Carmel, and it's a cute story. I mean, it's an amazing story, actually. 450 prophets of Baal and their female entourage, the Asherah, 400 of them. So it's 850-1. Do I need to tell you who won? It's a great story. I mean, there's a drought, there's no water. They take what little water they have and they douse and they douse and they douse and they douse the altar with the sacrifice on it. And you know what happens, of course, those that are prophets of Baal, they can't seem to get anything accomplished. And so Elijah, in this beautiful humor of Scripture, begins to taunt them and say, you know, it's possible. We all need a break, a vacation. Maybe Baal has just gone on a break. You know, like maybe he's in the bathroom relieving himself. Maybe you need to yell a little louder, Baal. I mean, it's a great story. And then it's his turn. And the fire of Almighty God comes down and consumes everything. And all the prophets of Baal are killed. And when Ahab, that's our lesson for tonight, when Ahab tells Jezebel, she says, next 24 hours, Either that prophet is toast or I'm toast. She puts a vow on herself. And what does this amazing, successful prophet of God who has just seen it right before his eyes, what does he do? He runs, and I mean, he runs as far as he can get, and then his servant leaves him, Beersheba. I've been there. That's the southern part, right? And then he goes into the wilderness, and then it says an angel comes to him, and then it says the angel of the Lord came to him the second time, and the angel of the Lord is Christ. People say, I don't care much for the Old Testament, you know, I'm just a New Testament person. I go, well, you must be missing a lot of Jesus then. The angel of the Lord, Jesus, is right there and says, you know, you need a revealing. Almighty God, remember, shows up as an epiphany in the silence. And then God says, I've got an amazing exit strategy for you. I really do. I mean, it's going to involve better things than you're ever going to see in a theater, a fiery chariot, a whirlwind. But first, Elijah, get your act together. You got people to anoint, plus your replacement, the one who is going to copy you, Elisha. You got work to do. And besides, you whiner, you, there's 7,000 knees that have not bowed to Baal. You're not the only one left. But you all got work to do. And now is not the time to go on vacation. Even if you're going to go to a different place, make sure that your eyes are open to the doors of opportunities for witnessing. Visit with someone like Janet when she's in the hospital, what, about 8 days? This, whether it was her son, whether it was the nurses, doesn't matter. God had opened a door when she was in the hospital to preach Jesus. And we do that. Copy that. The imitators of God as beloved children. The story is told about Ulysses S. Grant. He was commanding officer for the Union Army, Civil War, 18th President of the United States. And when General Grant was in Houston, Texas, all the bigwigs, important people, were there, and they, you know, down south, they like to do things big. Texas, they like to do things big. And so this was a big banquet. They pulled up all the stops, and all the important people were invited there. And General Grant sat at the table as the guest of honor. And so when they came with the wine, he was the first one to receive. And he just carefully, quietly took the wine goblet and turned it upside down on the table. And every single other guest there, quietly, discreetly, took the goblet and turned it upside down. And with all of the fanfare of fancy banquets in the South, that may have been the first one that didn't have any wine served. Because they all, out of honor and respect, wanted to copy Ulysses S. Grant. Imagine what that would look like if we were not just copying a drawing or the 18th President of the United States, but if we were copying Jesus. No one can come to me, Jesus says, unless the Father draws them. And all whom my Father gives to me and comes to me, I will not cast out. We need to give credit to whom credit is due, and plagiarism is not a good thing. I knew a girl in my congregation in Little Falls who got a scholarship to play volleyball in college, and she got kicked out of that college. And her dad was a prestigious person. She got kicked out because instead of writing her own research paper, she went online and she purchased one. And that was not allowed. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Speak the truth in love. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And give, Paul says, absolutely no opportunity to the devil. Give no opportunity to the devil. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but you know that when Christ appears, you'll be like him. And those who hope in Jesus, they purify themselves as he is pure. Copy that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.